Three people are happy with that. Amen. Amen. Like, I hope you're enjoying this time of year. I love this time of year. It's really what it's all about is we're anticipating the arrival of our soon returning King, right? And I think, and I read through the Bible about the Christmas story, and you think, you know, the whole nation of Israel was anticipating the arrival of this Messiah. 700 years, it seemed, must have been like forever, and they're just like, when is this Messiah going to come? And he arrives, and now we find ourselves on looking back at that time, and now we're looking forward to his second return. I can't wait. The other day, I caught myself so excited about it that I was just like, man, why have you just not come yet? What are you waiting for? Come on, man. We all want you to come on. Let's go. Hurry and return, right? And I caught myself in the moment because I realized that I was missing out on something. And that I was missing out in that moment of his very presence here and now. You know? And I forgot for just a moment that the King has already arrived. And the King is already present here. And he is as near as he could possibly be to each and every one of you. And that is the word for this morning. I believe that the Lord just wants to say to each and every one of you this morning, he's with you. God is with you. No matter what circumstance you find yourself in this morning, whatever context you find yourself this morning, God is with you in it. And it's his desire. He's eager to be with you in that this morning. Last week, Pastor Phil shared a prophecy from Isaiah, this prophecy that happened 700 years prior to Jesus' birth, and he talked about how the people living in darkness will have seen a great light, and those who live in darkness, a light will shine. And in the same prophecy, just a few sentences earlier, in chapter 7, verse 14, Isaiah delivers the depths of this amazing truth that a light is going to shine, that is going to come to this dark world. And he says this, he said, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign, and behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. I think for me what makes this so compelling of a prophetic word is not only is it 700 years prior to when it happens, but Isaiah is in the midst of a prophecy about destruction. He's in the middle of a prophecy about impending destruction that was going to take place. And right smack dab in the middle of this warning about destruction, Spirit of God speaks through Isaiah and says, hey, look, here's hope for the future. Don't fear, don't worry about anything that you're ever going through. I'm coming to be with you. I'm going to be with you. I'm coming to be with you. And for me, I think the celebration of this time is really about Jesus emptying himself of all his glory and his riches. You know, it says that even though he was rich, he became poor for our sake so that we could become rich, right? And this beautiful image of God deliberately impoverishing himself, choosing poverty, the lowest of lows of lows, so that he could be present with you. So that he could be with you, creation, mankind, personally. Not on a distant level, but on that personal, intimate level. And it's so amazing every time I think that God gave up everything. Everything. All the riches, all the glory, all the prestige to be present with you and me right now in this moment. The presence of God is in this place right now. He is present. He's here. He is here. And my hope is that you leave here this morning with a greater awareness of his presence in your life. That he is with you every step of the way, every second of every moment of life. For me, this is where the sacrifice really began for Jesus, for God. It wasn't not at the cross. The sacrifice began at that incarnation that we just sang about. The incarnate Word of God, when the God of the universe chooses to take on the flesh of man, to come down and to enter into our world, into our mess, to come down to be with you, to spend every waking moment of life with you, to be with you through your hard times, the trials, the tribulations, to be with you during those times of euphoria and excitement, right? And to be with you during the mundane and the ordinary of life. To allow you to experience life in all of its fullness and the ordinary, mundane, day after day life. That is God's desire. That's why he came to this earth, so that you would experience life in abundance, fullness of life, every single day. Every single day. His desire to spend every moment with you. In our house, we have a cat, and our cat is, her name is Abby, Abigail. She's my little baby girl. I was not a cat person until this cat came into my life. And the reason why I love this cat so much is because I'm her favorite. It's clear. It is clear that she just adores me, so that helps, you know. But this cat is the most precious thing in the world. And why she's so precious is that she just wants to be with you all the time. It is her greatest desire just to be present with somebody at some point during the day. And she will make sure that she is with you. My wife has a music studio in our basement where she teaches a lot of students. And every single student in the evening, she's down there at the student's feet just listening to the music of piano and violin and cellos. And she just sits there and she's just present, eager to be with Liz and these students and this music. She just loves it. She'll follow you around the house just to be with you, just to be with you, because she thinks you're awesome. It's like, all right, cool, come on, you know? It's like, and when I'm in the morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, you know, and I'm reading, I got coffee in one hand, the Bible in the other hand, she's just right smack dab in my lap, and you know, sometimes gets in my way and snuggles up to me while I'm trying to drink coffee and read the Bible. But it's such a cool thing. She's just eager. She just wants so much to be with us. So much so that even if you leave the bathroom door just a little bit open, she's just gonna press through and sit right next to you while you're doing your business. She wants to be with you even in the most disgusting and intimate times, the most personal times. And I thought about this, I'm like, man, that's a great picture of you, God. You want to be with us during the messiest times, the most intimate, the most personal times where nobody else gets to experience, just me. And you want to be with me. It is your desire to connect with me and to engage with me in those moments, you know? Your God is with you this morning. He is present with you today. And I realize that, you know, when I say that God is with you, it has a personal and unique impact to each and every one of you. It's personal to each and every one of you, of where you're at in your season of life, whatever context and circumstance that you find yourself in. Everyone in this room, maybe 80 some of us right here in this room, 90 of us, God is in a different, he's with you in a different context of life right now. But he's with you. He's with you. Whatever the context in your life, God is present. He's with you in disaster. He's with you in the calm. He's with you at the highest peak of the mountain when everything's going great. And you know what? He's there at the lowest of valleys with you. He's there when you are fear, when you experience fear and doubt. He is with you while you wait on him. He is with you in the past. He's right here in the present, and he's already there with you in the future. That's your God. That is your God. He is with you right now. And I know, you know, it can be hard to wrap our head around this at times, and it's probably because, if we're all honest, we don't feel like his presence is with us all the time, right? It doesn't feel like his presence is with us all the time, but that does not make it any less true, does it? The word of God is truth. It is truth. What he says is true. May I suggest to you this morning that the reason why we feel at times that God may not be present is not because he's distanced himself from us, but that we have distanced ourselves from him. In his book on prayer, Philip Yancey says, "When I'm tempted to complain about God's lack of presence, I remind myself that God has much more reason to complain about my lack of presence." In other words, if you feel distant from God today, it's not because he has distanced himself. The promise of the word of God in Isaiah 55 is that he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. That word means is that he has never abandoned you. He will never desert you. He will never leave you entirely. He will never separate himself from you. He has bound himself to you, covenanted himself with you. So much so that he even made a covenant never to break that covenant to be with you. God is with you this morning. And so it's never him that leaves us, but that we turn away from him. It's kind of an example of like how the sun is always shining. You know, we have this amazing source of light 24 hours a day. The sun never stops shining. It never stops beaming. It's amazing, immense light. It's not going out. There's no shadow around it. And yet we experience darkness on this earth. Right? And so this amazing source of light is constantly, you imagine that much light shining in the entire universe, but yet there's a portion of our day where it's dark on this earth. And we all know that's because the earth is turning on its axis, right? And so there is a side that is facing away from the sun, and there's a side facing towards the sun. The side that's facing away from the sun, this immense, consistent, constant, bright, shining light, the side that's facing away doesn't get to see that light. But the side that is facing it experiences it. And so what I'm saying this morning is that if there's darkness in your life, or if you feel God is distant this morning, it's not because he has turned. It may be because that we have turned. You see, God is faithful and he's consistent, just like the sun is always shining. And we have to be sure that we are turned towards him. We have to make sure that we're turned towards him at all times. Just recently, I was praying a prayer. I was just going through a particular circumstance, and I just remember saying vividly, I said, God, I need you to be with me right now. And I said it over and over and over again. God, I just need you to be with me right now. I just need you to be with me right now. I just need you to be with me right now. And I was thinking back on that. I was like, was that a silly prayer? Because obviously, he's never left me. I'm not like beckoning him to come to me, right? He's never left me. He's never going to leave me. And I just felt the Lord say, no, that wasn't a silly prayer. Because what I was doing, he said, what you're doing is you are awakening yourself to my presence. You are engaging my presence. You wanted my presence in that moment. And you turned to me and asked me to be with you. You see, God is always engaged and he's always ready to go. But there are times when we need to engage ourselves and to remember his nearness in every moment. That no matter what you are going through, wherever you're at, God is with you. And so we have to make sure that we, as his people, the people that he's devoted himself to, the people that he's made a covenant with, to never turn away from and to never abandon or desert, we have to make sure that we're tuned into him and that we are turned towards him and giving him our presence just the same. Giving him our presence in the moment, to be with him. Michelangelo created a famous painting that sits at the top of the Sistine Chapel. I'm sure all of you have seen this picture at one time in your life. I found the PG version. It took me forever to find one. There's a family-friendly version of the creation of Adam. And I did a little bit of research on this painting. This is a painting that is at the top of the Sistine Chapel, and thousands of people line up every year to go and view. And I just found out that some of, in our first service, people have been there, and they said you have to be completely silent in there, and there's no speaking. And they said it's just one of the most moving moments of just complete silence and in awe of seeing this. And I want us to look at this painting for a minute and just kind of look at it from a, I want you to, let's just look a little bit deeper into it, because I found out what Michelangelo was getting at here with this. If you look carefully at this painting, you see that on the right here, this figure who is God is extending himself urgently towards Adam. He's extending himself. His head is turned all the way to him. He's stretched out. He's reaching. He's engaged, and he's trying. His fingers stretched out completely, pointing as far as he can. And he gets as close as he can. He's twisting his body. He moves it close to the man as possible as he can. And you can sense here God's great desire to close that gap between him and mankind. And apparently what Michelangelo wanted to express was God's determination to reach out and to be with the person he created. To be with you. He's stretching, he's reaching, he's determined to reach out to you. And he gets as close as he can be, but having some close, he still allows there just to be a little bit of space in between there, doesn't he? And that represents that God allows Adam to make a choice. That it's not forced upon Adam, but that mankind has a choice to make, and he waits for Adam to make his move. And so then you turn your eyes to Adam, and you look at the demeanor and the body language of Adam, and you can see that he's in a relaxed pose. He's in a laid-back, kind of disinterested, kind of indifferent kind of position, isn't he? His head isn't reaching towards him. It's kind of lackadaisically turned. It's like, all right, you know. And his finger is kind of lazily just hanging there, and all he would have to do is lift his finger. But it seems as if he's not interested. He's just indifferent. Michelangelo, what he's trying to get across in this painting is that it's not that we as mankind loved God and sought after God, but it's that God loved us and seeks after us. And he reaches for us and his desire and is determined just to be present with you in everything that you go through. To be with you through it all. God is making this incredible effort. And that's what Christmas proves. God extending an incredible effort to be with you, to be present with you. Liz, can I invite you and the worship team to come on up? Please, I've asked Liz to, we're going to close in just a moment. But as we continue celebrating this Advent season, right, this time of eager anticipation of our King, let us not forget that Emmanuel has already come and that he is here and he's present with you right now in your context. It's different for every single person, but the Bible says that those who are called upon his name will be preserved. And that he is close to them and that he is with them. I was reminded in between services of Psalm 23. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Throughout this entire gospel, it's God wanting to be with you, present in your life, in every circumstance of your life. Invite him to be a part of every part of your life. He leaves that little bit of room. And so there's this drawing on our end that says, God, I want to be with you. I've experienced you and I need you, God, in my situation. I need you to be with me right now in this situation. I need you to be with me in the next decision that I make in this. I need you to be with me in my marriage. I need you to be with me in my parenting. I need you to be with me at my workplace. God, I need you to be with me as I walk these next few days. I need you to be with me through this next season of uncertainty. And God, I'm a little bit afraid. And I'm honest with you, I'm a little bit afraid of what it's going to turn out. But God, I believe that you are with me and that you walk with me. God, I need you to be with me. So I want to leave with you encouraged this morning that God is with you. He was born for us. He was a gift to us. He was and always will be God with us. Let's pray. And I don't know where everyone in this room is at in this season of life. Like I said before, it looks different for everybody. In this season of life, we're all walking a different journey with Jesus Christ. We're all walking a different journey right now, and it looks different. And I don't know where you're at in this season of life, but I do know for certain exactly where God is. And if you call upon Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I can guarantee you, I can promise you that I know where God is. He is with you right now. He's with you right now. Father, I thank you for this incredible promise, this incredible truth, this incredible reality, Lord God, that the God of the universe stretched out as far as he possibly could. You entered into our mess to be present with us. God, I thank you. I thank you for that. Thank you for that hope. Thank you, Lord, for all that your presence is in our lives right now. Lord, this is the four most incredible words that we can say is that God is with us. And Lord, at this time of Christmas, when people are, it's not a hopeful and joyful event for a lot of people. Lord, I pray that our life is a living testimony of this truth, that you are with us. This is the greatest gift that we can give to somebody, is that we can tell them that God is with them. Thank you for your presence, Lord. I thank you that you are with us each and every moment of the day, in every circumstance right now. And so we praise you, we thank you, and we give you honor this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.